just as a reminder, everybody, that we're speaking into our microphones, and you hear some of you better than others, so. Okay. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Eric Bolsheman, DVM, in the case number 23161, sorry. Hold tight, restart that.
Hello?
Hi, Ms. Reese, this is Tracy at the Veterinary Board.
Hello?
Board is ready to start the informal interview, so I'm going to turn you over to our chair. She's going to start the meeting, and we just ask that you remain quiet until you're addressed by our board chair, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Julie, for being with us over the phone. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Eric Bolsheman, DVM, in case number 23161. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Bolsheman, please introduce yourself and your counsel for the record.
Eric Bolsheman, DVM, Diplomate of the American College of Veterinary Radiology, and David Stolk.
David Stolk, Family's Legal Counsel for Dr. Bolsheman.
Great, thank you. Dr. Bolsheman, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials, but we did submit recently a radiology consult report that you all should have.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Mosley, could you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Okay, yeah, let me find that. I forgot that I did this. On August 25th, 2022, Ziggy, an 11-year-old male domestic short hair cat, was presented to the respondent on referral for radioactive iodine treatment. Radiographs and blood work were performed by the primary care veterinarian. The cat underwent imaging that revealed a large, bright thyroid nodule that appeared benign. On August 29, 2022, the cat was presented to the respondent for treatment. The I-131 distributor did not have any treatment available, therefore the cat stayed overnight. On August 30th, 2022, the cat was injected with I-131 and hospitalized for monitoring. On September 4th, 2022, the cat was discharged. On September 13th, 2022, the cat was presented to an emergency facility for labored breathing. A thoracocentesis was performed and 300 mLs of fluid was removed. radiographs were suggestive of a possible mediastinal mass. Further diagnostics and hospitalization were declined, and the cat was discharged to the complainant. On this September 18, 2022, the cat was humanely euthanized by a local veterinarian.
Okay, thank you.
I think there's one more line. Complainant believes respondent should have known that the cat had only weeks to live, thus provided unnecessary treatment.
Thank you. Dr. Boshoven, at this time I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Dr. Boshoven, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. So by way of background, I'm a Colorado State graduate. I've been in practice for over 28 years. The majority of that has been in the specialized field of radiation oncology. I've treated literally thousands of hyperthyroid cats during this tenure. In this case, I do not feel that I violated any statute or regulation of the Practice Act, and was therefore relieved when the investigative committee issued in its unanimous recommendation on November 7th that the complaint be dismissed with no violation. I'm hopeful that after I respond to your questions here today, you'll agree with the committee and formally dismiss this complaint. Ziggy was originally seen by Dr. Brites of Pet Life Veterinary Clinic on August 8, 2022, because he had been losing weight and having respiratory problems. Dr. Brites has diagnosed Ziggy with hyperthyroidism and made a referral to me for I-130.
What? Slow down just a little bit.
Sorry. Dr. Brites has diagnosed Ziggy with hyperthyroidism and made a referral to me for I-131 radioactive iodine treatments to address the hyperthyroidism. I saw Ziggy 13 days later on August 25th to begin those treatments. As I told the investigative committee, I reviewed Dr. Brites' records, but I'm not certain whether or not we had received the x-rays prior to the August 21st visit, and if I had reviewed them prior to the first appointment. This took place approximately 18 months ago, and honestly, I don't recall specifically reviewing the x-rays prior to the appointment. In my response to the complaint, I stated that I had reviewed the records from Dr. Brites, but did not state that I had reviewed the radiographs. So there is a possibility I did not review the radiographs personally before that appointment on August 25th. I honestly don't recall. As I told the committee, I can't say if I did or didn't review those x-rays from Dr. Brites. It is my understanding that Dr. Brites did not note any significant abnormalities in the x-rays that would have changed his recommendation to go forward with the radioactive iodine referral. He also did not send his radiographs out for a radiology consult, which is not per se required in every case under the current standard of care. During the review, you expressed an interest in having Dr. Brites' x-rays reviewed by a radiologist, and so I did that and submitted the consult report from Dr. Victoria Heffelman, board certified radiologist. Even with the benefit of that report, I still believe it was medically appropriate for me to go forward with the radioactive iodine treatments, which again is what Ziggy was referred to me for. We also do not know if what was seen in September by the emergency service was even related to what was seen on those x-rays in early August. The Nelson and Cotto text lists nearly a dozen common causes for pleural effusion. Of these, nearly all can change hour to hour, let alone over days to weeks. Now available for any questions.
Thank you. I would now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Boshoven.
Just one question. This issue of when you receive these materials, the referral materials, the radiograph did not come with the records.
I do not know if it did or not. Our staff puts those in and tries to put them in on the date that the radiographs were taken, rather than the date that we received those x-rays, and so I can't tell when exactly they came in.
So you can't recall then when you saw the radiographs, or if you saw them?
Correct. I definitely saw Dr. Brites's records. Mm-hmm. I know I saw those beforehand and saw the note that they had done chest x-rays and didn't see anything.
You saw the notes from the doctor. Yeah. In general, your hospital asks for records, and in this case, am I correct? We have a customized form. Please send Ziggy's records. And those should include lab work and radiographs. Is that the best?
There's a form that my staff sends requesting those things, yes.
Okay.
The degree to which it's applied to is quite variable.
Yeah, sure. So the question would be, in your experience with hyperthyroid cats, do you proceed with treatment without imaging?
Yes, very common. It's very unusual that we have chest x-rays for these. We know that thyroid masses can occur anywhere from the base of the tongue all the way to the base of the heart. And so even in this case, seeing a mass in that location, it's still a good chance that's related to the thyroid disease, and I still would have proceeded in the same way, recommending iodine-131 treatment for the known problem, as the radioactive iodine injection and sitting in a cage for a few days is by far the safest option we have for treatment of that disease.
And Ziggy was in your hospital for one extra day, and then the time that they stay there because of the radioactive iodine, is that correct?
We kept the cat an extra period of time, as I recall, actually, because
the
owner
could medication.
Well, so the cats have to stay in hospital and be isolated because they're radioactive. Right. So the state requests that they be at normal background levels before they're allowed to go home. We kept Ziggy an extra period of time at the owner's convenience because the treatment got delayed because Cardinal Health couldn't get us the I-131, so it got delayed, so her schedule got delayed, and so with courtesy, we kept the cat an extra period of time as well.
Okay. And then in the history, with the history of cough, were you aware the history included cough?
Yes, and again, that's not an unusual problem with having these cats when they have a large thyroid nodule.
Okay. So it could be due to the nodule?
Absolutely.
Okay. But it didn't make you want to look at the radius because of the cough?
It did not, especially reading Dr. Breitzer's calling it normal.
Yeah.
Is that routine where you follow the referring vet's interpretation of the x-rays?
I will say it's not unusual because it's not uncommon for us to have trouble getting those x-rays. I have a staff member whose almost sole job is trying to track down records because it is so hard to get records from many veterinarians. And I don't know if it's digitally it's an issue, if it's the old days of fax machines where things got misplaced. But it is an ongoing problem for all of our cases. So this is a case where it would not have stopped me from moving forward if I had a dog with an oral carcinoma. Absolutely, we would want chest x-rays before we proceeded with any treatment because that's a very different situation.
And in this case, with the pre-iodine treatment, communication with the owner have included that there's a potential for a mass in the, like tell me kind of what you would have told her about the potential of a mass.
So
you now know that there was the mass there.
Say that last part again, I'm sorry.
Well, like what would you have, because if you didn't review the x-rays and what you were going under was they were normal, but then when they did actually get to you, there was evidence of a mass, correct?
There was something in the area of the base of the heart.
So would your pre-iodine treatment have included there could be things going on that this is not going to correct, or how?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, if I had seen that, I would have said that. Every one of my discussions with hyperthyroid discusses the fact that we can have that thyroid tissue from the base of the tongue to the base of the heart. So had I seen that, my recommendation would have been that, there is something here, it's in a location where we can see these nodules. If this were my own cat, and that's usually the way I phrase it, I would proceed forward with treatment doing the I-131 because we know that's a problem because the cat was relatively asymptomatic as far as we could tell on clinical exam. The cat was showing no respiratory stress, no respiratory signs. And so my recommendation would have been to move forward with the treatment regardless.
But you wouldn't necessarily have had that conversation with this owner because of the fact that you didn't have those x-rays.
If I had not seen the x-rays first, correct, I would not have had the last part.
And
that
the
I still
record
would have
said they were normal.
Yeah, I still would have said that they're from the base of the tongue, the base of the heart, you can see those nodules. So
are you saying that if you had known of that abnormality, there wouldn't have been any further investigation
I would not have recommended further investigation of that nodule based on what we see.
Radiographic.
And board members and respondent, because there is a court reporter present, if we could all be mindful of not talking over each other, I think that's fairly normal in everyday speech, but with the court reporter trying to make a record, it's very difficult for her, and also difficult to get a good record.
And so you're saying there shouldn't have been a discussion with the complainant regarding the aberrant, as you were just said. There's a mass there, I think it's not.
I didn't say that, because again, I'm not sure that I was not aware that I know of that those that area on the radiograph.
Okay.
Had seen that area on the radiograph, we might have expanded that discussion further.
And now, with what transpired at the emergency clinic regarding the radiograph and the ultrasound studies that they did.
They don't believe they did an ultrasound, sir.
They did an AFAS.
They
did a pre and post AFAS. Pre and post brachiosynthesis AFAS. Initial radiographs, an AFAS, thoracosynthesis, and then another AFAS.
I guess what was declined was additional diagnostics and operations.
So, with that information and the fact that they declined any kind of fluid analysis, however, they did put in their records that they did a cytology and saw a population of lipid cells, combined with your narrative stating that the only thing that would move that fast would be lymphoma, and as the one abnormality, neoplasia that you would say that could move that fast to cause that hydrothorax.
Would you repeat that? I'm not sure.
In your narrative, you stated that you were trying to discuss where this fluid came from, the differential. You said that there are a lot of possibilities, and I think your primary was cardiac, was the murmur. Is that not correct?
Cardiac is certainly on the list.
On the list. But then you stated that in terms of neoplasia, nothing would move that fast with the exception of lymphoma.
Lymphoma would be the most likely in that case as well to change that quickly.
Well, infusion and then infusion, the imaging done pre and post can be mediastinal. That's, we're looking back, I realize that. Would it be, I'm not going to ask you to opine on what happened. I'm just asking if you were aware of that fact and the ultimate findings of their imaging, the AFAS scans.
That they saw fluid and a possible mass?
Yeah.
And I don't know what Dr. Grain's qualifications are to do an ultrasound short of looking for fluid,
sure.
Which working side by side with them in the emergency room on a regular basis because they're in their own building. You know, generally what they're looking for is fluid. They're looking for pericardial effusion, they're looking for pleural effusion, and beyond that, their skills are limited, especially with thoracic.
Yeah, to be T faster.
Yes.
Yeah, T faster. Okay, thank you for that.
Do any other, board members have questions for Dr. Bolshevin? Ms. Rise?
Yes.
It is now your turn, and so I am going to swear you in now. Do you?
Okay.
And again, would you just state your name for the record?
Julie Rise.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Rise, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And you are the complainant in this case?
Yeah.
Correct. We have read the material.
Yeah.
We have read the materials you have provided, and we can now give you the opportunity to address the board on this case.
Okay, thank you. I did bring all records given to me by my vet, Dr. Notario, and my experience with the staff this must be responded promptly with all records requests.
Ms. Reyes, hold on, I'm sorry to stop you. You were kind of going out there for a moment.
Okay.
Now that sounds better.
Okay, thank you. I did bring all records with me by my vet, Dr. Notario, and my experience with the staff is that they respond promptly with all record requests. I believe that if he didn't have the records, Dr. Boschman shouldn't have proceeded without all appropriate records, documents, and information. And I just believe that as the expert, he should have known that Ziggy was terminal and within weeks of dying, and because of his failure to properly diagnose Ziggy, he caused undue trauma and expense. And I just request that I be refunded the money for everything except the office visit and the radiograph. Thank you for letting me express my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Reyes. Do any of the board members have a question for the complainant? Okay. Hearing none. Now, Ms. Reyes, I'll just have you remain silent on the line again, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Boschman, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
This is David Stoll. I do have a few comments. First of all, Ms. Reyes, we do sympathize with you for your loss. In that regard, it's always easy to look back with 20/20 hindsight after you've been had a beloved pet diagnosed with a terminal condition and think, well, that treatment that wasn't necessary beforehand, but what you have to do is analyze the actions of the veterinarian at the time and based upon the information that he had available at the time. Again, Dr. Boschhoven was a consulting veterinarian that was retained to treat this hyperthyroidism, and that's exactly what he did. He's been completely honest and forthright throughout this investigation, and that includes the testimony he gave at the investigative committee that he could not specifically recall whether he actually read the x-rays from the prior veterinarian or just relied on the medical record and his interpretation of the x-rays. Since there is, we don't feel that there's any basis for any type of violation in connection with his review of the x-rays prior to the performance of services, because we don't have any evidence that he actually was provided the x-rays and reviewed them beforehand. What he testified in the investigative committee is that he couldn't recall whether he reviewed them prior to providing services or not. He also testified here today that even if he had been provided those x-rays and noticed the abnormality, the abnormality he detected could have been related to the hyperthyroidism he was retained to treat. He also testified in response to one of the owner's concerns. It's not unusual for him to provide this iodine radiation treatment without x-rays, so they're not always available to him. We therefore feel that the investigative committee got this case right and that this complaint should be dismissed with no violation or at most issue a letter of concern. Do you have anything to add? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more questions from board members?
I had one other question on your pre-treatment scan. What is that called?
Technetium scan.
Okay. And we saw that with the nodule, the thyroid. If the mass in the chest had been thyroid, would that have shown up on your scan?
It should have shown up if it was a thyroid mass.
Okay.
And would the radioactive iodine treatment cause any of the other potential underlying issues, whether it had been cardiac or whether it had been lymphoma or whether it had been something else, progress more rapidly?
Not to our knowledge. Again, in thousands of cases, I've never seen that happen.
So you don't see any negative effects to going forward with the radioactive iodine?
I do not. In fact, I only see positive effects, because even if we were going to have to treat one of these other conditions, the abnormal endocrine system situation can affect all of those systems. And so certainly the way the animals would handle chemotherapy or handle medications for the heart, all of those types of things, we have a lot of cats that come in with substantial heart murmurs, and very rarely do we send them to cardiology first to evaluate, because 95% of the time the cardiologist says it's probably heart related, hyperthyroid related, treat the hyperthyroidism, and then if it doesn't get better, come back. So I mean, even in those situations with significant abnormalities there, if it's hyperthyroid related, we should help those guys. And so it's a very unusual situation where there are other things going on with us.
Okay. Any further questions of board members? Okay, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Take it away.
Okay. So the issue just really boils down to this radiograph with the abnormality. And my concern about it is that the complainant was not aware of this prior to, and the information was there. We don't have anywhere in the record stating that the radiographs were reviewed or not reviewed. So we can't fall back on the record and go, oh, there it is. He reviewed it or he didn't. You know, not because it's not in the record. So that's my concern. And the issue is that this cat then ultimately succumbed to another disease process. And I think it's very relevant that the scan would have picked this up if it had been thyroid. But with the respondent telling us that there's quite possible that they would have gone ahead anyway, then so they could treat the now known condition, I certainly puts weight on that. Still, my concern is that the client did not have an opportunity to have all the information that she should have. This radiograph not being viewed seems to be the logical explanation of what happened. And indeed, if we assume that that would constitute a violation, we should assume that that would constitute a violation by the primary veterinarian as well. So that's where the dip case gets very difficult for me. But I do appreciate the information we got today over and above what we got at the investigative committee. And with the information as we heard it today, I would make a motion at this point to dismiss with no violation.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-161. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Boschman will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any additional questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you both for being here, and thank you, Ms. Rise, for joining us via telephone.